The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. He said to them, How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any kids who want to come forward for? Oh, good.
Let's have a seat. How are you this morning?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, over the last several weeks, we have been hearing gospel lessons where people have been asking Jesus questions. So today, the question was what? What's the greatest commandment? Which is not a bad question. Now, if you were to ask Jesus a question, what might it be? What's it like in heaven? Okay. That's a good question. Why do you want to know that? Okay, you think about heaven all the time, because that's where we plan to go, right? And we know we can go before we do. Yeah, okay. How are you doing? Yeah. should have already known that answer, right? He is someone who's studying the law. He knows the Torah. He knows what's important. So why ask Jesus a question to which he already should have answered? Maybe to get assurance. Maybe to see that Jesus would say, the entire law is important. I can't choose the Lord. But I think Jesus answered perfectly. What do you think? I do too. All right, so let us pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you answered the question of the most important commandment, and you added to it that the most important thing is to love God with our whole mind and our heart and our soul, our very selves, and then to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We ask that you help us as we try to follow these two commandments to the best of our ability. We ask all things in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for joining me.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I can do it all by myself. You ever heard that? You ever said that? Yeah, don't help me, because I can do it all by myself. You ever said that, Ben? You have, huh? I know I have, but why do we do that? Why do we say, I can do it all by myself? Because we're annoying. Because we're annoying.
We want to prove ourselves?
Yeah, I think so. I think we want to prove that we have the ability to do whatever it is that we have set out to do. And we don't want help from anyone. And I think here in Wyoming, we have a lot of that mentality, don't we? That we can do it all ourselves. We can take it all on ourselves. We can be like our pioneer ancestors who managed to do all sorts of things that seem impossible today. When I read the histories of people who settled out on the Great Plains, I wonder how in the world did they have the ability to do that? Because I'm nowhere near that strong. But I still am the sort of person who wants to say, don't help me with it. Let me do it myself because I know how. And you know what? A lot of times I find myself having to admit that I don't know what I'm doing and I do need help. I look at the gospel lessons that we've been hearing for the last several weeks where Jesus is telling us how to be radically different from the world. Like last week when he said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's, when the reality is that everything is God's. So how am I supposed to do this? I don't know. And today's lesson, to love the Lord your God with everything that you are and to love your neighbor as yourself, well, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this? And if I had had to ask Jesus a question after he answered that one, it would have been, how am I supposed to do that, Lord? How am I supposed to love God completely like that? How am I supposed to love my neighbor? How am I supposed to love my neighbor when my neighbor is annoying, or my neighbor is different, or my neighbor teaches children differently, or my neighbor just doesn't look very lovable? How am I supposed to love my neighbor? And how am I supposed to love my neighbor as myself when I have a world that tells me that maybe I'm not even worthy of being loved? So what is this all about, Lord? And yet, I want to do it all by myself. God says this is what I'm supposed to do, and I want to be able to do it by myself, and you know what? I can't. I've tried all my life, and I can't do it by myself. And I think that's part of the point of this. So when we look at the two great commandments, to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength, it sounds so good. But our hearts and our minds are full of all sorts of other things. And love our neighbors as ourselves, but our lives are full of all sorts of distractions. It's so easy to ignore our neighbor in favor of ourselves. So how do we do this? How do we do this? I think what we have to do, first of all, is acknowledge that we can't do this by ourselves. As one person stated, authentic discipleship begins at the place of helplessness, where we reach out to the divine helper, to reach out to Jesus and say, we want to become more like you. Teach us how to follow you, because you are the one who knows how to do this. You showed us through your life, your death, your resurrection, that you know how to love God with your entire being, that you know how to love your neighbor with your entire being. Help us to be more like you. But what we need to do is to listen to Jesus, to turn to Jesus, who says, it's okay that you don't know how to do this by yourself, because I'll show you how. We need Jesus to help us. We need Jesus to show us how. And we need a community to help us as we show each other what we've been taught from the life of Jesus. And I think, isn't all this the problem that Martin Luther had? The problem that led to so much soul searching, to so many sleepless nights, to so many hours confessing his sins. And he had so much depression when he realized he could not live in a manner that would allow him to do enough good works and enough acts of penance to ever outweigh his sins. He couldn't ever do that. And then he read a passage in Romans that opened up his mind and his heart to the boundless mercy of God. Romans 3, verses 19 through 28. He read how we are justified by God's grace as a gift, and everything changed. He no longer had to do everything. Jesus has already done it. And all he needs to do now is follow Jesus. There's a wonderful passage in the Small Catechism that deals with the last portion of the Creed. You can find it on page 1162 of the hymnal. And if you were to memorize anything in the Small Catechism, I say memorize this portion. It is on the third article on being made holy, which is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And Luther says, what is this? What does this mean? And he answered, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. The idea that through my own understanding, I am never going to believe in Jesus Christ, but it is only by the gift of the Holy Spirit that I can come to believe and I can come to follow. How many of you were aware of the prayer that's called Footsteps? You've seen that one? Where a man has been walking on the beach and he looks behind him and he sees his footprints. And he sees that sometimes there are two sets of footprints and sometimes there's only one. And he asked Jesus, why? Why is it that during the lowest moments in my life, there's only one set of footprints? Why did you abandon me? And the answer is, look at those footprints. When you see two of them, that's when I walked beside you. When you see only one, that's when I carried you. And I saw an addition to this the other day that said, and you see that long groove? That's where I dragged you, kicking and screaming. And I can understand that. The times when I've been dragged along kicking and screaming because I don't understand the direction I'm supposed to go. And Jesus, in Jesus' great wisdom, knowing that picking me up isn't going to help, just drags me along until I can get back on my own feet and let him walk beside me. I think that's what we need to take away from today's gospel on the two great commandments. That we can't do it by ourselves, but with the grace of God and with the help of one another, perhaps we can. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, The Church of Christ in Every Age, number 729.